Matthew 28.
Amazing this on the book man.
Long in.
Hallelujah. Matthew 28:18-20. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, to teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Okay. This is pneumaticus section 10, right? Yeah? This is section 10. Okay. So it says, we said in discipleship, the disciples are taught the reality of heaven and earth. Remember, I said, "Go, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. So go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and allow me to always live to the end of the age." So, firstly, disciples are made, right? Right? Firstly, go make disciples, right? And in making disciples, you teach them. Hallelujah. You teach them what? All what I've commanded you, and we say what he has commanded them will be what? Concerning spirituals, which is heaven and earth. Hallelujah. And that is the reality of the new birth. So the man born again is spiritual, we said that, because what? Of the new birth. The man born again is spiritual because the new birth is the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. So that man is called spiritual. 1 Corinthians 2:12-14. He says, "We receive not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is from God, and we may know those things that are freely given to us. Which means we also speak, not in the wisdom in which, not in the words in which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches." Say, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So he calls the man born again spiritual. Do you understand? In chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual," that is, to who you are now in Christ. In verse 16, he now says, "Don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost?" Meaning, we are spiritual because of the indwelling of the Spirit. Do you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said that indwelling is heaven and earth united. I explained something last week. I said heaven will mean the spiritual, right? Right? The spiritual. And the earth will imply man. Right? Man. So Genesis 1, when it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth," it means it talks about what? The new creation, the new birth. Do you understand me? So that is God's plan from the beginning. Do you understand me? So what is God's plan from the beginning? Heaven and earth. What is God's plan from the beginning? God and man. What is God's plan from the beginning? Of the indwelling of the Spirit. Then also the earth was without form and void. It talks about the singular, the man who is not born again. The earth is without form and void. He said, "Darkness was upon the face of the deep." That is to be without Christ. That is the earth without the heaven. Do you understand? That is the earth without the heaven. That is humanity without the spiritual, without Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember, we said this teaching is a progressive teaching. And this is to continue teaching on this topic years and years to come. Right? Right? We are going to build on what we are seeing today or in this series in the coming years. And I've made a resolve within me that we would keep having this series once every 2 years, just like we are doing discipleship. You know what I mean? Discipleship seminar is once every 2 years. Right? We'll have this topic once every 2 years also.
Hallelujah. Pneumatical. Just look at it. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. So let's just continue. Let's just flow. Now, it says, so we saw this. We said this indwelling is heaven and earth united, right? So, when I said, when we get to 1 Corinthians 12:1, when Paul said now concerning spiritual, we say he's addressing 1 Corinthians 11, right? Concerning that gathering, because he called them, "I call the spiritual as unto spiritual, as unto carnal," because of their attitude when they come together, because of their conduct. So in chapter 11, you see pointed out their conduct of not identifying, not discerning the Lord's body. Generally, they couldn't discern the Lord's body in the sense that they didn't walk in love. Generally, they didn't walk in love among brethren. So Paul is now being correctional. He now said, now concerning spirituals, I don't want you to be ignorant. So it's more of correctional here in verse 1 or in chapter 2. And that correctional is concerning their conduct when they come together. Hallelujah. So when Paul is about to correct their conduct, he began to teach them concerning spirituals. In verse 7, it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit without. That is, it's given for everyone to profit. That is the word that means for the common good of everyone in the church. So, the manifestation of the Spirit. I would say the manifestation of the Spirit has to do with the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, right? Right? The indwelling of the Spirit is given for the profit of everyone. So, if you look at that very well, when you hear the indwelling is given for this, for the profit of everyone. So, when you hear everyone, something comes to mind. What comes to mind? The ecclesia comes to mind. Do you understand? So, the ecclesia comes to mind. So, we can now say the practice of the Spirit is where? In the ecclesia. I am it. So the practice of the Spirit will be in the ecclesia. So it's in the ecclesia that the Spirit is practiced, that the things of the Spirit are put into practice among believers for our common goal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said when we come together, it's for the common good of everyone. And we said the common good will not be edification. So, right? Education. So when Paul mentions the 9 endowments we have, he says it is for us together. You know that it's for us together. And we said first of all it will edify the church to glorify Christ, to glorify Christ first, right? Now that glorifying Christ is something we're yet going to look at subsequently. Hallelujah. To glorify Christ. So we're yet going to look at it subsequently, but for today, we leave it at where we stopped last week, right? We leave at where we stopped last week. So it will glorify Christ. Hallelujah. So that word glorify Christ is a big word in the room. Hallelujah. So when we say to glorify Christ, it's a big word in the room. Right? So when I say the guide we would have will be what? The scriptures. Right? So that guide in the scriptures will also be another big word in the room. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Also, there are not big words in the room because someone has said, hey, it will glorify you very far. That edification is a big word too in the room. Why? But some people think now, a man will not think edification will not mean anything. When I hear it, I will not be stretching. You know? No, calm down. That word edification is the word to build up, right? Now, building up, Paul shows us what it means to build up. You understand? As a believer, what is entailed in the building up? That will be 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. You understand? So, that is what is entailed in the word vidya. Did you get that? So, but I think we are not going there in this series. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? We're not going there. So, let's stick with what we have learned thus far. Right? Right? Let's stay warm. Let's understand that yet. Glory first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it will glorify Christ, right? It will edify the believer, right? But you will not form an itching ear. No, you just tell me the Lord will bless me. That is prophecy, right? No. Hallelujah. I want it there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So most times, what you call edification will not be sound to the mind, to the human reason. It will look foolish, but it's actually edification. Do you understand? Glory to God. Are you understanding me? It will look somehow funny or foolish, but it is actually edification. Hallelujah. Like you receive a warning not to go to somewhere by the Holy Ghost. And I don't feel edified. You don't feel edified. It is not that you don't feel edified. It is your mind. It is your reasoning. Because you made up your mind. I'm going here tomorrow. I hear you. And now you hear the word that says, do not go there.
Like, no, how can you say the Lord said I should not go there?
What is the problem? Where is the problem from? The problem is your mind. God is not sound to your mind. You're already developing it. Yes. Are you hearing me? So, whereas that's not going there is actually glorifying God. Because it's by the Holy Ghost. I don't know if you understand. It's by the Holy Ghost. So, we'll tag that as being directional. We are receiving the direction from the Spirit. I am soon just like Paul, as they said, if I wanted to go into Asia, and they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost. Now, forbidden by the Holy Ghost does not mean an angel stood on the road and carried a knife or sword and said, you're not going. No. Forbidden by the Holy Ghost implied that they heard it via what? Tongues and interpretation or via prophecy. Do you understand? And they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost via utterance. They were forbidden by the Holy Ghost not to go. Do you understand? So that could be, that is the direction God has made up their mind to go. Are you following that? So we would have direction. Are you hearing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So most times, I'm already going into what I say, I don't want to get into today. Okay. Most times you receive direction, and that direction might not be sweet in that quote to your mind. Or to your reasoning. Do you understand me? Aha. But it's actually edification. Hallelujah. Do you get me? Does it glorify Christ? Yes, because that's what the Spirit will have you do at that point. Do you understand? That's why I said now that word glorify Christ will not be a big word in the room. Right? Can you not see? It's not big. So we'll now have to look at it critically. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's just proceed. So we said, that said, the nine endowments that Paul mentioned, the nine charisma that Paul now mentioned, I said it is now endowments, right? And I used another word, faculties, right? Now, and last week we were able to differentiate them into three groups, utterance, revelation, and target, right? So let's look at the word tongues. Tongues. Let's look at your trans gift. Let's look at tongues.
Let's concentrate on tongues. Tongues.
Tongues. Speaking in tongues. The law of first mention. Where is tongues first mentioned? Okay. Tongues. Isaiah chapter 28. Let's look at Isaiah 28. Verse 11. Was tongue mentioned in the Old Testament? Let's see. Isaiah 28, verse 11. He says, for with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to his people. Yes, honey. With stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to his people. With stammering lips and another tongue, he would speak to his people. We will get to see this shortly as we progress. That will be from 1 Corinthians. But we'll get to see 1 Corinthians 14. We'll get to see that. So, this is a prophecy from Isaiah concerning speaking in tongues.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a prophecy from Isaiah concerning speaking in tongues. He said, with stammering lips.
He will speak to you. Let's just look at that 1 Corinthians 14. Even if we're still going to look at it again. 1 Corinthians 14, 21. Last half of verse 20, or verse 18. It says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all, right? Say, yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in tongues. He says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, in understanding be matured. In the law it is written, it's calling Isaiah the law. Right? In the law it is written, say, with men of other tongues. Did you see? put your hands there and put your hands in that Isaiah. And let's look at this. Let's compare how Paul now interpreted Isaiah. Isaiah 28. Look. Okay, are you there? He says, "For with stammering lips and other tongues he will speak to his people." That was what Isaiah said. But look at how Paul interpreted. He said, "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips." Did you see that? "I will speak to these people. And yet, for all that they will not hear me." Very important. Do you understand? So who will speak to who?
It talks about the communications of believers. Hallelujah.
Are you following me? Hallelujah. Say, with men of other thoughts and other needs, I will speak to these people. Hallelujah. And yet, for all that they will not hear me, glory to God, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign. Did you see that? Therefore, that is, tongues are for a sign. Not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying, not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Did you see that?
Hallelujah.
So we'll get to look at all this today. Glory to God. So look at this. So the prophet spoke about it, stammering lips and other tongues. That will be tongues. Jesus also expounded on it in Mark 16, verse 17.
It says, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Right? That believe. He said, "In my name they will cast out devils." Right? They will speak in new tongues. They will speak with new tongues. That they will speak with new tongues will be what Isaiah to speak to them. Do you understand me? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So they call Paul call them men of other tongues. Do you understand? They will speak with new tongues. As I will call it, stammering lips.
We get to see that I've explained tongues. Hallelujah.
Stammering lips. Hallelujah. So tongues is found mentioned in the book of Acts, in Acts of Apostles chapter 2. So Jesus has given us a precedent. It will be found in those who believe. Look at Acts 2, verse 4. It says, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Right? Chapter 10 of Acts, Cornelius and his household, verses 46. I'm trying to be a bit fast. It's not good. Cover up. Verse 46. Acts 10, 46. It says, verse 45. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Verse 44 says, and while Peter was still speaking this word, the Holy Ghost fell upon those who heard the word. Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, hallelujah, they heard them speak with tongues.
Glory to God. Look at chapter 19.
Chapter 19, verse 16. Verses 6, not 16. It says, and when Paul had laid hands on them, those are the guys at Ephesus, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, very important. We can see that those who spoke in tongues were those who believe, or are those who believe in the gospel, those who have received the new birth. Hallelujah. So those who spoke in tongues are those who have received the new birth. Glory to God. So when you hear the word in Acts of Apostles chapter 2 verse 4, it says, and they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That word another tongue or other tongues
is the word, that word another or other is the word heteros.
Heteros. It implies a different sort, a different kind, something that is different. Do you understand? Something different. So, when it is used here in Acts,
remember Acts will be what? A third party report, right?
A third party report. He was not there, but he heard from those who were there.
Do you understand?
Aha. So, in the third party report, and he used the word heteros.
Why would you use the word heteros?
Now, use the word, it is used to make distinction. Do you understand? So it was different from what others spoke. Distinction. So Luke will use it to create that, to show that distinction in what they spoke was not common. You understand? Was not natural. So it's not called and speaking another tongue. No. You understand? Glory to God. So the same way Jesus will call it, they will speak with new tongues. Right? Jesus called it speak with new tongues. So when Jesus said the word new, is the word kainos in the Greek. Kainos. Kainos. Kainos tongues.
That word tongues is the Greek word glossa.
It implies a language. A language.
So tongues is a language. Glossa, a language.
So when Jesus then said they will speak kainos glossa, or a new tongue, he implied it has never been heard. That word kainos is used for what has never been said. It's the word used for new, what has never been used before. Do you understand me? That's never been said or used before.
Kainos.
So he said, when he said kainos glossa, it implies that it's never been heard or spoken before.
It has no history or past. It is a new language.
A new language.
So Jesus spoke about a new language that's never been spoken before. Yeah, I hear me. It's never been spoken before.
So that is why the prophets from old, when they
went to prophesy about tongues, they never heard it before, and they call it stammering lips. Do you understand? That's why Isaiah will call it stammering lips. Glory to God.
It's like, so the poor will call it stammering lips.
Other languages. Do you understand? Other languages.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it has never been spoken before. Paul will use that word kainos in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. If any man be in Christ, is a new creation.
New creation.
So it's to show a new. Look at 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6. It says, we also who also made us sufficient ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, the spirit gives life. It says new covenant. In chapter 5, it uses the word again, new. If any man be in Christ, is a new creation. Hallelujah. Just something to put together.
You can just say, this shows that it is a new tongue, because it's a new creation and a new testament.
Understand me? It's a new creation and a new testament.
So we have a new tongue. Hallelujah. A new language. We have a new language because the new, because
we are new creations and new testament. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the new testament has a language. I follow me. The New Testament has a language.
We've said this before. The New Testament is Genesis 1:1. Are you hearing me? Yeah? The New Testament is not Matthew 1:1. It's Genesis 1:1.
Are you following me?
Yeah? The New Testament, are you listening to me? The New Covenant is Genesis 1:1. The New Covenant is what? The Spirit. Right? The indwelling of the Spirit is heaven and earth. Hallelujah. So, that new creation has a what? Has a language. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. And that is what we call tongues. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. So, since tongues was mentioned in the books of Acts and Mark as what is evident in the new birth, we should look at the epistles for the explanation. Right? Right?
Should we? Sure, we have to. Hallelujah. Because it's evident in the new birth, in the new creation, so we have to look at the epistles for the explanation.
Hallelujah. And in the book of 1 Corinthians 14, we have what we call emphatic mention.
Right? Emphatic mention of
the word, or emphatic teaching on that word tongues.
Hallelujah. Do you get that?
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2. He says, moreover, 1 Corinthians 14:2. He says, for he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. He says, for no one understands him, how it in the spirit he speaks mysteries to God. Right? I mean, he speaks mysteries. Glory to God. Glory to God. So he who speaks in tongues is the believer. Right? Right? Okay, so to speak to tongue, I mean to speak in tongues is to speak in the spirit. That's what Paul is saying. Say he who speaks in a tongue does not speak unto men but to God. No one understands him. However, in the spirit. So that means he who speaks in tongues speaks in the spirit. Right? Right? So he who speaks in tongues speaks in the spirit. So therefore, this shows that speaking in tongues is supernatural. It's not nothing to do, it's not coming from the senses, it is supernatural. Speaking in tongues is supernatural. It's not coming from the senses. This is the reason why in verses 14 he says, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. This is that my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion? They say, I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with my understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with my understanding also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in verse 14 and 15, when Paul says the mind is unfruitful, he then tells you that speaking in tongues does not come from the senses. No, that's got to do with your senses. So, he says in verses 14, he says, if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. So, my senses has got nothing to do with it. If this tongues comes not from the senses. Hallelujah, it's supernatural. Glory to God. It's supernatural. I say it's supernatural. It's supernatural. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So, he now goes to verse 15. He now says, I will pray with the Spirit. So, Paul showed up what speaking in tongues means. He said, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with understanding also. He said, I will sing with the Spirit. Remember in verse 14, he said, if I speak in tongues, say my understanding is unfruitful. Right? I speak in tongues. So he now shows what's the conclusion then. Say, I will pray with my spirit. And I'll pray with my understanding also. He said, I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Glory to God. So it tells you, Paul shows us very important things to see. He shows that speaking in tongues is what? Singing and praying. Do you understand? So the word to speak with tongues has this word to sing in tongues or to pray in tongues. Are you following me? So singing in tongues include praying in tongues and singing in tongues. That is speaking in tongues. So something else to look at. Tongues is to be spoken. Tongues is to be spoken. He didn't say, I will write in tongues. No. Those people that go online and write Kabaya. Le photo to yeke. The tongue is to be spoken, not written.
I hear me. Tongues is to be spoken, not written.
So don't join those people. Kabaya. Oh, my man of God. Look at my pastor, fresh Kabaya.
Kabaya Association.
Hallelujah. What is the name of that? Kalito. Hallelujah. No, something has to be spoken. Hallelujah.
There's no way it is written that they will write in tongues. It's not scriptural. It's to be spoken.
It's to be spoken. So don't join those guys that will go online and be writing in tongues.
You can't write in tongues. We are guided by scripture. Don't you know?
Hallelujah.
It's just
funny enough. It's just challenge. Hallelujah.
You don't write in tongues. If you could write in tongues, if it was to be written, Paul would have written all his epistles in tongues. He said, thank my God I speak with tongues. He didn't say write in tongues. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So tongues are to be spoken.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Something not to lose sight of. Tongues are to be spoken.
Okay.
So when he now says, in verse 15, he now says, what is it then? I will speak in tongues. I mean, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with my understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with my understanding also. So that now brings out something to us. Since it is unfruitful to the minds. Now, the minds of who?
Unfruitful to understand, right?
So the understanding of who? Both of he that speaketh and he that
heareth, right?
But he that speaketh, does he really need the interpretation?
No. To want to know what you say in tongues, why you speak in tongues, is to be unbeliever. I hear it. I want to know what I'm saying in tongues. Calm down. Speak in tongues. Hallelujah.
We're going to see, we receive corrections from the scriptures, right? So we're going to look at it critically.
All the while tongues were interpreted in scripture was not interpreted for he who speaks to know. No, it's interpreted for the man who hears, who receives, to understand. So that is why Paul said, because of the unfruitful mind, he says, I will sing in my understanding. I will pray with my understanding. Normally, as I'm teaching this, we should be teaching a new song, another topic, a new song. Start to flow. Mother word will be filled.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Did you get that? So, are you following? So it's just very important to see that
it is not me that needs that interpretation. No. Do you understand? And we're going to get to see that shortly. Hallelujah.
Get to see that shortly. Because whatever Paul will be saying, what will be in the background will be the ecclesia. Do you understand? So you will have the ecclesia in the background.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
So this is the reason why for the interpretation. So that men would receive edification for the mind to understand. Look at verse 17. Verse 16, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how would he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Did you see? So Paul's emphasis is on the other, which is what? The ecclesia. Do you understand me? So Paul's emphasis is not on you. It's on you to give thanks well in tongues, but the other is not edified. Do you understand? So he who needs that interpretation is actually
the audience.
Do you understand?
Not you. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So we'll get to see that as we begin to discuss interpretation of tongues. Hallelujah. So let's see some things quickly. Some things that we must not miss out. Look at verse 4. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. It says, he who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. He's taking you, he's tilting you somewhere. He's telling you that he who speaks in tongues edifies, builds up, or he could build up himself. Hallelujah. So tongues builds up the one who speaks,
or the one speaking. Tongues builds up the one who is speaking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. It builds up the one who is speaking. In Acts 2, verse 4. Let's look at that, their experience form. Acts 2. Look at verses, from verse 2. It says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. It says, and they appeared to them, divided tongues as of fire, and sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit gave them utterance. So, he said, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This shows that prior to this time, that faculty was present, right? Right? Was it present? That faculty, was it present to speak in tongues? It was. Because they were born again. They received the new birth prior to this time. So that faculty was present, but it was inactive. Do you understand? It was present, but inactive. That endowment was there. By your school, choose one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that purpose, that endowment was there prior to this time, but it was inactive. Do you understand? The endowment was there. Because we have just explained, that the new birth received the Spirit, the gift, the charisma, the endowment are in the Spirit, right? Right, like in the Spirit, and the believer has received the Spirit, so it can be there. The endowment can be there, but inactive. Do you understand? It can be there and inactive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's so. And also, don't forget that the person that will speak the tongues, will be what? The believer. Hallelujah. The person, the he that will speak in tongues will be the believer. Now let's just move ahead. Now it says, verse 4, it says, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, say, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's look at that word utterance. Utterance is the word from the Greek that implies apotegomai. Apotegomai. I'll spell it. Apotegomai. 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 You find that word in Acts 2 verse 14. You find it also in Acts 26 verse 25. Verse 14, it says, for Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my word. Hallelujah. Raised up his voice. Look at chapter 26 verse 25. Of that same act. Acts 26:25. It says, But I say, I am not mad, most noble Festus. But the word, but speak the word of truth and reason. Hallelujah. But speak, not the word. But speak the word of truth. Oh, but speak the word of truth and reason. This is in his defense to Festus. When Festus said, too much learning has made me mad. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, that word apotegomai is a word that refers to a particular kind of speaking. A particular kind of speaking. Let's go back to that actually. So when he said, and the spirit, and they spoke in tongues, and the spirit gave them utterance. So that word gave is the word didomi. Didomi. Didomi is the Greek word that implies an unconditional, ceaseless supply. An unconditional, ceaseless supply. An unconditional, ceaseless supply. Let's say didomi, gave. To give something unconditionally without an end. As in, that supply is consistent without a stop. Do you understand? So, when you say, and he gave them, as he gave them utterance, that utterance that has been given to speak in this particular way is unconditional and it is ceaseless supply of it. So there's no, I have all the tongues that the Holy Ghost has given to me are finished. Are you okay? Do you understand? Do you understand? So it is unconditional, it is a ceaseless supply. Right? It is a ceaseless supply. There's no finishing. Like one of my friends, he was saying when he get to speak in tongues, that he will not stop. And when they asked him, why won't you stop? He said, how will I stop? You know, he has been wanting to speak in tongues for years. Just like myself, but his own was worse. He wanted to speak in tongues for years. He said, they've laid hands and legs on him. Have you met people like that? He's not coming out. It's not just coming out. Why is it not coming out? It's not just coming out. Hallelujah. So he tried one day, he told Sunday that if I speak it out, his name too is Sunday, one of our friends, his name is Sunday. He's speaking out. He said he was going to do Sunday. That was going to rap in tongues. Funny. Right? Funny. But he likes to rap. But he likes to use scriptures to rap. He's a born again, brother. They like to use tongues to rap, but very, I don't want to, well, if he hears it, he knows it. He knows, that was it. I've told him once, he's a very controversial brother, very controversial. You have to be, your ears have to be open when you are listening to him. So, he was like, if he gets to speak in tongues, he's going to rap and he will not stop. Why won't you stop? He said, because if he stops, the thing can go. I was told he did not sleep that night. The day he spoke in tongues in the air, he did not sleep. God will just speak in tongues. He said, till midnight. Ah! If I stop, that's gone. How about that for letting that be the rule of your life? Some people think they are now masters of thought. It's not thought, just thought. No. Hallelujah. Look at such kind of passion. He didn't want to stop. In fact, when he got to speak in tongues, that was the situation that the principal of the school had to come and carry them. He brought them home. Hallelujah. He bundled them. This guy is a poor man. Hallelujah. And brought them home. When he brought them home, nothing. This guy just came now. Kaidaba. Oh, shaka de boobs together. Oh, like that. Glory to God. Wonderful, right? So, it's an unconditional, ceaseless supply. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the believer has an unconditional, ceaseless supply of this particular kind of speaking. The believer has an unconditional, ceaseless supply of this kind of speaking. So it's not on and off. No, it's not based in the palate. It's not on and off. Glory to God.
Consistent. So speaking in tongues is the ability in the believer to speak.
Hallelujah. Speaking in tongues is the ability in the believer to speak. This is why Paul calls it charisma. That is, it is in the believer. Charisma. What is freely given that remains yours. Do you understand me? What is freely given that is yours. So Paul calls it charisma. Hallelujah. So it implies that the believer will utter supernaturally. The believer, when he calls it charisma, means that it is at the disposition of the believer.
Are you hearing me?
So what that implies is that the believer will alter supernaturally by choice or by volition. He will alter it supernaturally by choice. Because it is, for Paul to call it charisma, it means it's at the disposition of the believer. Do you understand? Either to speak or not to speak. Whether to make it, in making it active or inactive, is in the position of the believer. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, therefore, tongues is the ability in every believer to speak. Hallelujah. It's the ability in every believer to speak. A man begins to speak at the point of salvation, whether he makes it active or not. That ability he has received at the point of salvation. Do you understand?
Hallelujah.
So what we receive in the new birth is the ability to speak. We have just seen that. We will receive the ability to speak. It is not an experience. It is not an experience. It is an awakening of the faculty of the human spirit to speak supernaturally. Are you hearing me? It is an awakening of the faculty of the human spirit to speak supernaturally. Hallelujah.
So speaking in tongues is speaking supernaturally. It's supernatural speaking.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
So tongues is for all believers.
1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 14, 23. It says, therefore, if the whole church come together in one place and all speak with tongues, when we can all come together and speak in tongues.
I hear me? We can all come together and speak with tongues.
And all speak with tongues. So we can come together and speak in tongues. So that means, look at that verse in 3. And they're coming, one who is uninformed or an unbeliever. We do not say you are out of your mind. So those who now have in a gathering,
who do not speak in tongues, will that be those who have not received the new birth, or those who have not been taught? Do you understand? Those who have received the new birth and have not been taught that they, or let me put that, those who are not yet believers, and those who are believers but have this faculty inactive. Right? Right? Glory to God. And how do you make this faculty active? By speaking. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are we here? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Aha. Let me leave and leave. Glory, hallelujah. So, in verse 21, where we read, we said he was quoting Isaiah 28:11, right? So, that word stammering in the Hebrew is the word.
I'm going to pronounce it like a Nigerian man. Is the word bilaji. Or actually bilage. B-E-L-A-G-E. That word stammering in Isaiah 28 is the word B-E-L-A-G.
So So, it's used by David in Psalms 35 verse 16. Used by David in Psalms 35 verse 16. With ungodly mockers at feast, they garnished at me with their teeth.
These are like
the guy that is
doing something like.
Hallelujah. So that's that word there. It is in Psalm 35 verse 16. It is used for a language that sounds like a mockery of speech. Do you understand me? A language that sounds like a mockery of speech. Like sound like a mockery of speech. Now he said with stammering lips, right? And other tongues.
He will speak to the people.
Now we look at the word stammering. Let's look at the word lips in the Hebrew. Is the word sapa. Sapa. S-A-P-A-H. Sapa in Hebrew. It's used in Hebrews 11:1. Genesis 11:1. Genesis. Iboma will call it Genesis at the beginning. Hallelujah. Genesis 11:1. The whole earth had one language and one speech. Hallelujah. One language and one speech is used for a mode of communication. So I say with stammering lips, a language that looks like mockery, then
I. The prophet knew what he saw. I don't know if you understand. They knew what they saw. But they are trying to describe it for us.
Are you following me? Bible said they saw us afar. Glory to God. Glory to God. So when you say they saw them afar, what do you think they saw?
The last symptoms. Because they wrote what they saw. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me?
Glory to God. So he said with stammering lips, right? And with another. With stammering lips and other tongues, right? Okay. That word, another tongue or other tongues, is in the Hebrew word that implies strange or unintelligent. It's an Hebrew word, another. It's the Hebrew word that implies strange or unintelligent. What is used
when you use the word another tongues? What needs explanation? Something a language that is in need of explanation.
So you're using the word stammering and lips, or stammering lips and another. With the use of the word stammering lips and another,
he's describing tongues. Do you understand me? So what is it trying to say? With the use of the word stammer, a language that looks like mockery, leads a mode of communication, and the word another means of what is unintelligent that needs to be explained. Do you understand me? So what is it trying to explain? So because that is what another, meaning it's something that, they had a language in Jew, which is what? Hebrew or Aramaic. So that is the word another, something that needs to be explained. Do you understand me? Something that is used that needs an explanation, unintelligent. So now, what is he trying to say? He's saying that tongues is an uncoordinated and unintelligent speech, communication, or a language that looks like mockery, hence needs to be explained. I'll take that again. He's saying that tongues, that's what Isaiah is saying. He says tongues is an uncoordinated and unintelligent speech or communication or a language that looks like mockery, that looks like mockery. Hence, needs explanation or is in need of an interpretation.
So, tongues is a language we speak.
You understand? In need of an interpretation.
Glory to God. Let's quickly look at interpretation of tongues quickly. We'll cover up. Hallelujah. Okay, interpretation of tongues. Let's see if we can go through interpretation of tongues and prophecy. And so I know cover two. Okay, interpretation. 1 Corinthians 12:10. Because tongues is in need of interpretation. It says, to another workings of miracle, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirit, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. That word interpretation is the word hermeneia. Hermeneia. From the word hermeneu. Hermeneu. Which implies to give an interpretation to what is spoken. Hermeneia. Means it applies to give an interpretation to what is spoken in tongues. So, the root word, as I said, is the word hermeneo, which implies to expound, to explain, to bring to the level of understanding. So, interpretation of tongues will be to bring to the level of understanding. Hallelujah. To bring the level of understanding. Hallelujah. So, that is the word hermeneo. To expound. To explain, to bring to them of understanding, Luke 24, and he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He explained. It will imply to explain a language. So, speaking in tongues has to do with what? Explanation of what tongues. I mean, interpretation of tongues rather. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, well, that we read earlier, we said, for he who speaks in tongues does not speak unto men, but unto God. For no one understands him, which in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Hallelujah. So Paul calls tongues speaking mysteries. Mysteries implies what is said. Mysteries implies what is said, an open secret that needs explanation.
In the course of our study or in the course of our CRC, we'll talk a bit about that. There's a difference between mystery and mysterious.
Tell us, there's a difference. A whole lot of difference.
Hallelujah. So that you get to understand. Hallelujah. So the scriptures is actually, which is talking about Genesis to Malachi, is actually called mystery by Paul, not mysterious. Do you understand? Mystery is not mysterious. There are two different words.
Do you understand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So mystery implies what is said, an open secret that needs explanation. Remember, it's from the root word that implies what to explain. More, M-U, to explain. So, tongues will always come out as unintelligent. Was that what we saw? Was that what we saw from the prophets? Unintelligent, right? Unintelligent, that needs explanation. So, tongues will always come out unintelligent to the mind. That is why in verse 14 it says, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit pray, my understanding is unfruitful. It is unintelligent to the mind.
Hallelujah. Very important. Tongues can only be understood by the mind when it's interpreted.
Tongues can only be understood by the mind when it is interpreted.
So, since tongues, we say, is supernatural, the interpretation is also supernatural by the Spirit.
Do you understand? It's by the Spirit, it's supernatural. It is an ability of the Spirit which is in every believer. It's not in some believer, it's in every believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it is via interpretation of tongues that tongues is brought to the understanding. And we saw that in verses
3 to verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 14. Let's just look at that.
It is via interpretation of tongues that tongues is brought to understanding. Verse 3 to verse 5, it says, "For he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. For he who speaks in tongues edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies the church." Do you see that? "I wish you would speak in tongues, but even much more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless he interprets, and the church may receive edification." So he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless he interprets. Do you understand? So what is he saying? Paul is saying, because Paul is looking at the church, the ecclesia, hallelujah. So he said, he who prophesies is doing much more justice. Do you understand me? He's the one working much more in love than the one who speaks in tongues. That's why others will receive education. Remember, he has just told you in chapter 12, if you remember chapter 12, he said the gift is for what? The profit of all. Are you following that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that's why you say this one is greater than this one. Are you following me? Hence we say interpretation is only for tongues when it involves others. That's what Paul is saying. Look at that verse 5. That the church may receive edification. That's what we've been saying. Look at verse 23. Say if the whole church come together and all speak in tongues, they come in one who is uninformed or an unbeliever. We don't say you have to remind, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all and is convicted by all. And thus the secret of his heart is revealed. So falling down on his face, he will worship that God and report that God is truly amongst you. Did you see that? So hence we can say interpretation is only used for tongues when it interprets, when it involves others. You can't be sitting down and you are speaking in tongues at home and you are praying and speaking in tongues and you are looking for the interpretation. Let me just interpret my tongues. No, you shouldn't do that. Just speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Just speak in tongues. Hallelujah. So, this interpretation is by the Spirit. Therefore, it is not the same as when you are translating.
When you are translating a language, you know the language. Do you understand? You know the language and then you are saying it in another language. Are you hearing me? For tongues, it is supernatural. Are you hearing me? It's supernatural. It's by the Holy Ghost. It's not translating. In translating, what will be called in every ramification. For in tongues, you can't do it like that. Hallelujah. So because it does not involve your mind. It's by the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? Hallelujah. It's not translating.
So if tongues is by the Spirit, then interpretation is by the Holy Ghost. So since tongues is not from the senses, therefore interpretation is not and can never come from the senses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So the mind cannot grasp what is said in the Spirit by the gift of interpretation of tongues.
Hence, what can we then see? We can now say that interpretation of tongues will always come out in tongues understood by the mind. And it is only for tongues when used. I mean, it's only used for tongues when it involves others. That's what Paul is explaining from verse 5 to verse 17. You read it, that 1 Corinthians 14. From 5 to 4 to 17, that's what Paul is saying. In fact, we think.
He doesn't say that, thank my God. I speak in tongues when I do all. Why? Because when we come together, do you understand me? I rather speak
Is this 5:46 now? Hallelujah. So when we come together, I rather speak 5 words in my understanding, right? With my understanding, that I may teach others, than 10,000 words in tongues. So he's talking about the explanation, the interpretation of tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at some examples. In Acts 2 verse 4. Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Are you there?
If you bring that up.
Acts 2 verse 4. It says, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Look at verse 11. I'll start from verse 8. No? Now look at from verse 11. Look at verse 11. Christians and Arabs, we hear them speak in our tongue, in our own tongue, the wonderful works of God. Hallelujah. And they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? Others mocking said they are full of new wine. Now, every other person heard them speak their language. Glory to God. And they said, and yet they mocked them. Now, they say, they spoke Calabar Yoruba. No, you will be missing it. Look at this word. It said, we heard them speak in our language the wonderful works of God. That is the interpretation they spoke.
Do you understand?
We'll get to see that from Peter. Look at Peter. Remember, Peter in verse 14 says, it shall come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall speak in tongues, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, he called what they have done, he called it prophesy. Do you understand me? They would speak. So he calls it that day. He calls it prophesying. And for 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, he calls prophecy with tongues and interpretation. That's what Paul calls it. Do you understand? So meaning, on that day of Pentecost, they spoke in tongues and they interpreted. So when they spoke in tongues, those guys were confused. Then they gave them the interpretation in their language, in their dialect. And they said, we hear them speak our language. I hear that, that is the interpretation they spoke out. Do you understand? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Look at chapter 10, verse 46. Remember, Paul has shown us in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, when who come in, he said, when the uninformed and the unbeliever and the uninformed come in, he said, wouldn't they say you are mad? Right? He said, but when you interpret, right? Right? If you prophesy, that is if you interpret, he said they will testify that God is amongst you. Say, falling on their knees, they will worship God. Right? Right? So, is that what happened in chapter 2, verse 11? And they declared, they spoke the wonderful words of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was what they said. So, they had that same testimony with what Paul said in chapter 14, verses 24. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Are you following that? Look at chapter 10, verse 46. Now in the house of Cornelius. Chapter 10, verse 46. Verse 44. Why they were still speaking this word? The Holy Ghost fell, and those who heard the word. On those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believe, were astonished as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Ghost had been poured out on the Gentiles also, and they heard them with tongues and magnified God. Then Peter answered. Listen, they heard them, they spoke in tongues and they magnified God. So they spoke in tongues and magnified God. That is the interpretation.
Hallelujah. He spoke in tongues and did not know.
Hallelujah. So meaning they spoke in tongues and they spoke out the interpretation.
Glory to God.
In Acts 19:6, where we saw, where we read earlier, he said when Paul laid hands, he said they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So the prophesied will be what? The interpretation. Are you following that? Are you following that? Hallelujah. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. They spoke out the interpretation. So we can speak in tongues and speak out the interpretation for what? Edification.
Glory to God. That edification, is it for the believer? I mean, is it for the one who speaks or for the other? It's for the other. Right? Right? Because the believer is already edified by speaking in tongues. Yes, and he who speaks in tongues edifies himself. Glory to God.
Is this a he who writes in tongues on Facebook? Or he who writes in tongues on WhatsApp status? No. No. Hallelujah. He who speaks in tongues. The same way he didn't say you win souls by preaching on your Facebook post.
No. The Lord has called me to Facebook ministry. I should be winning souls online. You are in not losing your brain. I hear this. The man of God, can't you just win souls online? It's a good idea. But you know, it's not by the Holy Ghost. It's an idea. But it's going to never be by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has shown us what to do. Hallelujah. It's a good idea to the senses. And it's an idea for a lazy man. A man who does not want to do the Great Commission. The Great Commission is go. He didn't say Facebook. He didn't say write data. He said go and make disciples. Hallelujah. So the believer is on the go.
I hear you. It's a good idea, but you know, you can never build on waters. No, don't build on waters. Hallelujah. Everything on social media is fake. 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 The picture is sick. Have you ever tried to take a picture?
Even though you are taking it conscious or unconscious, the moment you see the cameraman, you change your smile. Right? You just smile. So you take it, and you put it online. You say, the Lord is good. Okay, that was not your real face. You put it to
you. So you can go online and... Yes, so Facebook should be, or internet should be the last thing that should make you... Do you understand? That should never get... Those fake lies.
Leave those fake lies. You see some pictures you take here, or you see some people say, wow, what a ministry. What a structure. Jesus, sir. He's just effect. Effect.
I hear you.
Effect.
And you see, Jesus, and you see Pastor
Wisdom, wow, see my goodness. You say what a suit, not only the coat.
You know, you things like that. Huh? Things like that.
You say, this moment God is fat. No, it's starch.
It's just like that. So don't say I want to preach online.
Who can preach online? It's not only online. Okay, I'll come back here.
Hallelujah. I'm going to charge from. Leave the base. Glory to God. I'm thinking of going for that. Glory to God. Okay, let's just quickly look at prophecy, quickly. Prophecy. That's in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. So never say you want to win souls online. Oh. I'm gonna, you know, tongues.
You know, when I go and I do gabaya, song to put to put ya. Ha ha! No, ha ha! I did small shot. Another way that I wrote one long tongue when I give the interpretation.
No. Prophecy. Okay. First Corinthians 12:10, right? It says to another working of miracles, to another prophecy. Prophecy. That word prophecy is the Greek word prophetia, a noun. It's from the word, when the verb prophesying. So tomorrow we'll
spend time to speak in tongues and that for Jonathan, spend time. And then we'll go to worship with the Lord of our race. Let's see if we can handle tomorrow.
I know it's not possible. We can do it. We can end up here. Then next week we'll look at power gifts. Something that we should have just ended up tomorrow.
Hallelujah. Don't worry.
There's no rush. Okay. Prophetia, right? From the verb prophesying, which is the word prophetio, implied
speaking inspired.
From 1 Corinthians 14, 1-5, we've been reading that, right? But let's just look at it again. 1 Corinthians 14, 1-5. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies the church. I wish all spoke with tongues, even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So Paul here is explaining to us what to prophesy means. So explain what to prophesy means. And he has just weighed in two things. He says, he just brings in tongues and interpretation and brings in prophecy. We'll get to see that. Look at verse 24. We're getting somewhere. We're looking at how Paul explains it. Verse 24. He says, if all professor and an unbeliever or uninformed person comes in, and he says he is convinced by all and is convicted by all. Right? He's convinced by all. Verse 31. He says, for you can all prophesy one by one, and all may learn and may be encouraged. So look at what he's saying here. He said, I wish all prophesy, 1-5. In 24, all prophesy, right? 31, all prophesy. You get it? Meaning we all can prophesy. Paul is saying it emphatically. He's saying it without fear. Hallelujah. Look at verses 39. He said, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. So Paul is helping us see what prophecy is. Do not forbid to prophesy. Or desire to prophesy, do not forbid to speak with tongues. In 1 Thessalonians, he said, quench not the spirit fire. Right? He said, quench not the spirit fire. And he said, but he said, despise not prophesying. So don't esteem it low. Don't say, it's not it. You know, some people can just disregard it. So just you give tongues and give it away. Oh. And some people don't even do this. They don't even need to desire. You don't need to desire. You have red hot. Oh, today I receive words, tongues and interpretation. I prophesy. The church is a fire. I don't get tired of saying that. You understand? I don't get tired of saying that. I am working on it to make sure it becomes my daily confession. When I start working on it, it has not become every day. But as often as I remember, I don't get tired. And I get up today. I have words. Jonathan, I have words. I have tongues and I have interpretations. Yes, men are edified. The church is edified. Jonathan, hallelujah. Do you get it? Never despise it. We're going to prophesy. We're having a meeting tomorrow and we're asking each other interpretations. They did not speak in tongues and interpretations. And they don't. You are despising it. So there is just this. You know the first time you spoke in tongues and you gave an interpretation, you know how you were.
You know, can you remember how you were when you were giving interpretation to tongues and you were being cautious of what you say? That is how cautious you should be. Never despise it. You know how you were just hungry, just like the first day you were to go, the first day I was to pray a long hour prayer. You know, the way you desire it. Do you understand? Yes, I got into it. I was like, am I sure I'm going to complete this? That was my first WCC. Am I sure I'll complete this? Is it possible? Glory to God. But I've been looking ahead of the WCC. Glory to God. Even if I didn't, the first time I didn't have complete goals. But I looked ahead to having a complete goals. Hallelujah. So there's just this, and you know, I have told that is how I will always desire WCC. Never will you find me say it's not WCC. No. Just keep it that. Just keep it like that. Just have it like that. Do you know that? Never get to the point where you hear tongues and interpretation and say, I'm a real member. Don't worry. We give you all. Oh, second bone, she gives it back. No. Don't get to that point. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Don't get to that point. Never get to that point. Never get to that point. Always desire. I hear the desire. Have that desire. Never allow that burning desire to cease. I want to have. You know, as I am, if I'm going into any believer's meeting at all, and you are close to me, you hear me say those words, I will mutter those words. I receive words, I receive words. I like that conversation. I receive words, I receive what you say. The church is edified. I receive words for the person, and you don't understand. I receive words for the person. I'm blessed. You know, you can just be so carried away and say, "Is it not?" Believers say, "We give words," and you forget the fact that you ought to receive also. You understand? You ought to receive also. You ought to be a blessing. You understand? So you just keep your heart pure. Just keep your heart pure. Oh, I get into the meeting today. I have words. And the church is edified. You know that the church is edified. And I receive words. I receive words that will run with for years and decades to come. Words to keep me in track. Words to keep me in track to ministry. Words to run with, to lead by. You know that? And you are blessed. Glory to God. And you know, let me tell you something. Whenever I am to give a word of prophecy or to give the tongue and interpretation, better use. There is this anxiety that I have. I don't want to let go of it. Do you know that? There's just this, you know what I mean? This, just, I love it. That keeps me in check. That makes me know that I've not crossed the line. That is from you. No matter who I'm to give it to, whether it is Pastor Gabzi or Brother Vito. I'm serious. It's something I've consciously said would happen. And that is because I have prayed that way before that meeting. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you get it? Glory to God. So it's something to actually put your mind on. And don't outgrow the basis. Don't outgrow it. Don't be a jim in such things. Because people can easily switch to the flesh. Hallelujah. Can easily switch to the flesh. And it can be very minute, but yet very big. So, hallelujah. So, let's look at something in verse 5. Are you in verse 5? Look at what it says. I just want to pick out a phrase there. I've always explained it in a certain way, but I want to give you something more better. I wish, because recently I was studying it and I saw something. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless he indeed interprets. Now that word greater is not actually megas.
Not megas. Not megas.
Why are you?
Oh, not because.
Hallelujah.
Paul never said, and here is what Paul never said. Paul never said, prophecy is greater than tongues. Paul never said so.
Hallelujah.
So, take note. Paul is talking about the practice of the Spirit, which we said the background is the gathering. So whatever Paul is saying, the ecclesia is the background and the focus, right? 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 Am I communicating?
Yeah,
Ike, you've not said a word. No, you're not with me. I'm just looking. Are you just seeing red? Not the one you found. Where can I be?
I worry so that they will be ashamed tomorrow. Glory to God.
And that's now we lose to God. Amen. Amen. Chelsea must qualify. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If we don't qualify, then there will be no Champions League for anybody in England. Hallelujah. Okay. So, what Paul is saying here in essence is that because tongues is not understood by the human mind unless interpreted, that is verse 14. So the brethren in the ecclesia can say amen, verse 16. Are you following me? Therefore, Paul in verse 5 will equate tongues and interpretation as to prophecy. So tongues edify one, the one who speaks. Prophecy edifies the church. So listen up. Tongues edify the one who speaks. Prophecy edifies the church. Tongues edify the one who speaks. Interpretation of the tongues will edify the church, right? So Paul will now say prophecy edifies the church. Tongues for interpretation does the same. Do you understand me? So what Paul is saying is that the one who is prophesying is actually doing the main thing than the one who is just talking in tongues without interpreting. Do you understand? And Paul said, the one who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues because he has the ecclesia in mind. Lord. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, use the word edify, or oikodomio. It implies to build up. In context, you find that in verse 3. Sorry. Verses 3 to 5. You find what oikodomio, verses 3 to 5. Verses 12. Verse 3 to 5, you find he who speaks in tongues and defy himself, he who prophesies the church, right? Verses 12, we'll find edification of the church. Let him speak. Say, even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Do you understand? Edification of the church. In verse 19, we just read it, right? Edification of what? The church. Verses 23. Who is being edified? The church, right? The man who, the other believers, right? Verse 28. He said, but if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent. Let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophesy speak. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. Hallelujah. So who is it? Who is the background? Who is in the background? The church. Hallelujah. Look at us. 25. Sorry, leave 25 out of it. 28. Okay, that's what we just read now, right? Hallelujah. So, edify, oikodomio, is to build up the church. Is the church, the other believers. Glory to God. So, Paul's instruction was not for them to put away tongues, which is what we read in verses 39. Not to put away tongues when they come together. Rather, it is for them to take a step further. Do you understand me? To take a step further. Because he has told them that the whole church can come together and we all speak in tongues.
That is verse 23. We can all come together and speak in tongues.
Then we can also go further. Do you understand me? We can also go further and interpret the tongues. So that the uninformed and those who are unbelievers will also be edified. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Sorry, the uninformed will be edified. The unbeliever will receive salvation.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So Paul is saying they should take a step further
by interpreting their tongues. This is to prophesy that the entire congregation will be edified. So we could say tongues, interpretation of tongues and prophecy function by speaking. Right? Right? They function by speaking. This is why they are classified as utterance gift. They are classified as utterance gift. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So something not to lose sight of.
They define that we all can prophesy. We all can give the tongue and give the interpretation.
Hallelujah.
There was a
glory to God.
To prophesy means to speak inspired.
That's how Paul has explained prophecy. He explained prophecy as tongues and interpretation of tongues.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's begin to round up on this.
It is therefore for the believers. Utterance gift is the first sign we see in Acts 2 from verse 1 to 4. Acts 2, 16 to 18.
It's the first sign.
Your sons and daughters shall prophesy.
Jonathan, the first sign. Hallelujah. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke with tongues.
And what we now heard others say in verse 8 to 12 will not be the interpretation of the tongues. They spoke in a language, the wonderful works of God. Verse 16 to 18 of Acts 2, Peter will call it utterance, prophecy. In Acts 10, 44 to 46, this is what we've looked at, but we're just running on.
Acts 10, 44 to 46, they heard them speak in tongues and magnify God, which is what we find in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 4. 14 verse 16.
They spoke out the interpretation. Hallelujah.
He says, I will speak with the spirit and I will pray with my spirit and I'll pray with my understanding also.
Hallelujah.
I will sing with the spirit and I'll sing with my understanding also.
Glory to God. So we can say how the interpretation of what we speak in tongues.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. And what we sing in tongues, we can sing it out in our interpretation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Remember, those words will glorify Christ. Hallelujah. They will glorify Christ and they will edify the body of Christ. Have you been blessed? Let's just speak in tongues.